words of the Apostle Paul, one of the early letters of the Apostle Paul, and I'd like for you to read with me Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. So again I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you have heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. There was a young lady, her name was Barbara. She's not Barbara Church. I really don't even know her last name. But this is a true story. Barbara was one of the most hopelessly ill patients I've ever seen, with the words of Harold Adolf, an experienced surgeon at the Mayo Clinic. Barbara, a promising gymnast and flutist in a local orchestra, noticed she was not able to hold the rings. And then she began to stumble in the house. She tripped over the rugs and would fall into the walls. And so they took her to the doctor, and the diagnosis came back that she had progressive multiple sclerosis. And soon she was having problems even walking. For 16 years, this sickness progressed till in 1981 through 19. Well, it, from 1975 to 1981, for 7 years, she was unable to walk. She had multiple bouts with pneumonia. She was in and out of the hospital as her lungs failed, and then a tube had to be inserted into her lungs so that she could breathe. Her intestines failed, and she had to have an external back. Most of her muscles, including the ones which controlled her bodily functions, began to fail. She also went blind. She was sent to the Mayo Clinic as her last resort. They gave her no hope, but recommended praying for a miracle. Dr. Thomas Marshall, her internist at Mayo Clinic, gave her only a few days to live. Nothing could be done, he said. All her systems are failing simultaneously. Barbara's story was called into a prayer line of the Moody Bible Institute, and suddenly 450 letters from churches all over the letter began, the area began to pour into her house and her hospital room, saying they were praying for her. And in the letters were prayers that they were praying for her. On Pentecost Sunday, 1981, her aunt came and began to read the letters of prayer and the prayers written to her in the letters. Two of her girlfriends were present as well, and Barbara heard a voice from behind her say, "My child, get up and walk." Well, her girlfriend looked at her strangely and noticed there was something going on with Barbara. "What's the matter?" they said. They feared she was dying. "Call my family. I don't know what you're going to think about this, but God just told me to stand up and walk." As the family came rushing in, Barbara was obedient and jumped out of bed, pulling away her oxygen and her bag, and began to walk across the room on legs that had not supported her for over 7 years. Suddenly, she could see perfectly. The doctors that had been so sure that she was on the deathbed ran test after test and declared that she was completely healed of multiple sclerosis. She went home and had no recurrence of the disease for 40 years. She married a minister and became a witness of God's miracles wherever she went. Dr. Marshall, years later, stated, "I have never witnessed anything like this before or since, and considered it a rare privilege to observe the hand of God performing a true miracle." Our scripture speaks of miracles as a part of the life of a Christian, as much as the Holy Spirit is a part of the life of a Christian. As Jesus performed miracles on earth, so the Christian should be walking in the miracles of Jesus. There are 30 miracles of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. He healed the sick. He healed the handicapped that were handicapped some from birth. He raised the dead. He raised himself from the dead. He walked on water. He changed water to wine. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He cast out demons. He restored the insane hidden in caves. Jesus' miracles are recorded as historical fact. The early Gospels, such as Mark, which was the first one, and his source that he got this from, which was Q, we don't know what it was, so the scholars call it Q. If you ever hear that, that's some sources that Mark had to help him write. Both were written in the early church days after the resurrection of Jesus. They were not written hundreds of years later. These are not stories of mystic stories of fables, nor were they legends. Now, you know the difference in a fable and a legend. A fable is a made-up story about something as far-fetched as you can make it, about something long in the past. Legends, a little bit more. A legend says these things happened, but they sort of grandize them. Just make them a little bit bigger. And the longer it goes, the weirder it gets. But we know that Jesus' miracles were performed and recorded during the time just shortly after Jesus resurrected to the people that had seen them, and no one disputed their word. They knew He was a God of miracles. In the book of Galatians, our scripture this morning, we read that miracles are amongst you. So the book of Galatians was written during this period of time when the Christians were forming the church, the early days, 10, 20 years right after the death of Christ. And in Galatians, as well as in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says this: "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So, notice that scripture. This was written in Acts as a record of the church, and it says, as you know, Jesus was affirmed by his miracles, which means you saw the miracles. You affirm, as I'm writing now, you can say it happened, just as I'm writing. And so these are not myths or legends, they're not fables, they are truth. Today, there are those that would like, many who would like to say, and we're in the discipleship period. How do you disciple people who believe Jesus' miracles were myths? First of all, they are not myths. Now, I want to share with you this morning something that helps us understand the mind of a skeptic, but also helps us witness to a skeptic. Someone who says, well, I don't believe in miracles. So I don't believe what they said about Jesus, all those things he did. Why do they not believe in miracles? Well, if you go back to Hume, who was the writer that many of them draw their intellectual knowledge from in the university systems, and they'll often quote Hume, he uses circular reasoning and poor logic. And let me say this, some of the greatest Christian minds who have doctorates all over the place say that it was a poor logic, yet they use it. For instance, here's why they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe in miracles because they believe in science. And they'll tell you, I believe in science. You ever seen the signs in somebody's yard or something says, I believe in science? Well, what they're saying is, I don't believe in God. That's it. You say, because, hey, I believe in science. Does anybody not believe in science? Have you met one? Certainly we believe in science. As Christians, we believe in science. But they use the context of that to say, if you believe in science, then you believe in the laws of the universe. And the laws of the universe cannot be broken. Miracles say that the laws were broken, so miracles don't exist. That's called circular reasoning, because it assumes there is no miraculous, it assumes there is no God, it assumes there is no supernatural, it assumes that Jesus could not break the laws of nature, because man cannot. But God can. Again, that's circular reasoning, and there are some who that, and they don't even know they have poor logic, poor reason. It's poor. It's not even close to good. But here's my point. Most of that is because they don't want to believe in God. Most of the time, it's because they want to live a lifestyle the way they want to live it. The man that's going to speak tonight, give the end of his testimony tonight for us in our service, or our discipleship this evening. Walter Tucker, he's going to finish up what he started 2 Sundays ago. He shared with me his testimony, and it's an amazing, amazing testimony of a skeptic, an atheistic skeptic who turned to Christ. And how he did. It's a miracle. In the book that I was reading, that where I was getting much of my information, Miracles, a university professor who has, again, many degrees, he's brilliant, says that miracles are fact. They happen. And if you say they don't happen, then you've got your eyes closed. The majority of those who struggle with God and miracles struggle with their own sinful nature. They don't want to hear that there is God. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Then in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. These are miracles." Because they go against all godly laws. But I want you to know that Galatians says, by hearing with faith, as the other said. How do we walk in these miracles? And that's what I want to talk about just as I close this morning. Miracles occur because we walk in righteous faith, or we walk in righteousness by faith. Whenever we read the scriptures, it talks about the righteous will be justified. The righteous will know God's grace. Righteous will be blessed of God. And you can go to several texts in Psalms, Psalm 91, Psalm 103, and again and again it speaks of the righteousness of those who are righteous. Well, what makes us righteous? Is it because we do good stuff? Is it because we stay away from bad stuff? Is that the righteousness that he's speaking about? That if we walk righteously, we'll be walking in miracles? Well, it's righteousness by faith. And it said that Abraham was justified by his faith. None of us are perfect. There's none of us who have lived a perfect life. If we're not righteous, except we walk by faith in the righteousness of Jesus. And when I walk in the faith in the righteousness of Jesus, I've got news for you. I walk in his steps and his miracles. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "The righteous shall live by faith." Now, I want to give you these three things that I understand cause us to walk in his miracles, or give us the authority to pray for miracles. Number one, you must hear the Lord. I think that there are so many people that do not recognize that God always speaks things, and when he speaks things, they come into existence as we speak with him, which is the second. But notice, you must hear the word of the Lord. You must listen. You must read his word. Where does the faith come from that we have to be able to pray, see miracles happen, pray about that? Where does the faith come from? It comes from the word of God. The more I read the word of God, the more I hear from God, the more I have faith to be able to see miracles happen. Now, when this first illustration I gave you of this Barbara, of this young lady, 450 people prayed. Was it because 450 prayed? Was it the number? Should we have 400? If I get sick, should I have 450 pray for me to be healed? It's not the number. It's that those who pray with true faith, in faith. And where does that faith come from? The faith comes from hearing the word of the Lord. So we must listen. Second, you must speak to the Lord, plead his miraculous grace and mercy. I don't just say, "I wish you the best." That does very little. But I pray for you. I had a man who came this past week, and he works for Orkin, and he was spraying around my house. And I was standing there watching him, and one reason I do is that I don't want him spraying on the bushes. But anyway, he was spraying around my house, and I was standing there. He said, "I'm going to watch your bushes, Mr. Zed. I'm going to watch them. I'm going to be careful." Okay, that's fine. Then we got to talking, and he's a minister. He's a pastor. He said, talk about it, what it means to be a pastor. We went back and forth. And I said, "That's great." And finally, he said, just be in prayer for my family and my church. I started to walk away. I said, no. I turned around and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "I'm going to pray for you right now." And I prayed for him, for his family, as he had requested. Because you see, when I turn around and I walk away from someone, I forget exactly what they want to do right for. Are you guilty of that? I forget. I'm sorry. I don't have. So as much as anything, I do it for memory's sake. I pray what they just requested for them at that moment. And I pray immediately. And it was a wonderful moment. He just thanked me, and we both were about in tears, and it was just an amazing, amazing moment. I think we need to specifically pray before the Lord and others His miraculous grace and mercy. Third, you must have faith, believing that He is faithful to answer your prayer. The question is, do you have faith? Faith, what does faith mean? Faith means I expect it to be done. When I pray, do I expect it to be done? Most of us are this way. Well, I'm going to pray in God's will. God, please heal so and so, but if it's not your will to heal mine, just pray that you give me comfort, right? Or, God, heal them, but if it's not in your will to heal them, that's okay. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Watch your last one.
When we pray, we need to pray expecting God to answer our prayers. Not with some kind of slip-out method there. I know that we pray, that we are supposed to pray in the will of God, but I want you to know something. I want you to hear me right now. When we pray, God will lay on our hearts what His will is. And then when we pray, we're praying in His will. If we know that this is not someone that God wants to heal, then we pray for the comfort and strength and purpose and joy in their lives. I say that to say this. We need to have faith, believing that we're in contact with God and He's given us the prayer to pray. Do you believe that the prayer that you pray over this person is what God is giving you in your heart to pray for this person? And if it is, pray expecting that to happen because it's in His will.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the scripture says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in its righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1:16. The righteous shall live by faith. I began to realize this in my life. How much of my life do I live by faith? And how much of my life do I have to see it all planned out in order before I move in that direction? We need to walk expecting miracles. We need to walk expecting God to do the impossible, and we will see impossible things work. I pray that as you pray, you will pray the impossible prayer. You will pray, not just because it's impossible, but because it's possible. All things are possible through God. Let us pray. Father, for this day, we do thank you. I thank you that we have had miracles amongst us. We thank you that we have seen people that were extremely sick healed. We have seen people that were bound in sin and delivered. We have seen people that were lost, seemingly incapable of being won to Jesus, that have come to you. And Lord, we pray and ask that that miraculous power of yours might be with us, that where we go, we might pray, believing that you perform the miracles. We simply point people to you. And give you all the honor and glory for the answered prayers that you give us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I hope that you will listen to this.